number out. I always appreciate Daniel waiting for the last note because nobody wants to hear my last note when I'm singing. So he has done the congregation a favor, so we appreciate that. And Daniel does an outstanding job in leading singing, as others do, and we appreciate so much him leading us tonight. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, we'll begin our study tonight. We've been looking on Sunday evenings as Paul talks about the heart of man in the Roman letter. I recognize that this is a deeper study than some of the other things that we've studied, and yet at the same time, it's a study that I believe is needed. Many times we can take something that is deep, and it's the preacher's job to simplify it to the best of his ability. And as we simplify the teaching to the best of our ability, we take it and we try to learn principles that will help us. And Paul, as he is writing to the church at Rome, had a great deal to say about the heart of man. And the understanding of the heart is of the utmost importance in our relationship to God. And when you think about how we understand our relationship with God. So at this time, I hope we see the seriousness of the study we've been engaged in. And in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, you'll find that Paul again has something else to say. If you drop down to verse 6, notice the statement made by Paul. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In your Bible, in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, look at verse 6 to begin our study. And notice what Paul warns about in this regard. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 6, Paul warns against saying something in your heart. He said, say not in your heart. And look at that statement very closely. He says, do not say, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ from the dead. Now, Paul is concerned about their faith in Jesus Christ. And he is wanting them to understand that Christ has been raised from the dead, but at the same time, he is wanting them to understand the truth about all these matters. In the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, Paul is concerned about the heart. And he wants the heart of man to be so in tune with the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead that they go back and notice the prophecies of old and how Christ has fulfilled them. If you look in verse 8, we need not one to ascend to heaven or to be raised from the dead to declare that Jesus came and fulfilled the law and that we are now under the law of faith. We're no longer under the law of Moses. That law's been done away with. But Jesus came, and now He has all authority, and we are under a new covenant. Have you ever thought of the blessing of being under a new covenant in Christ? If you take your Bible, turn with me to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 1, that the Hebrew writer said, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purified would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. That was under the law of Moses. But we are now under Christ. Christ came and fulfilled the law of Moses. So no one needs to ascend to heaven or be raised from the dead to declare what Jesus has declared. Because Jesus has been given all authority. Jesus has ascended. Jesus is at the right hand of God. And it says in Matthew 5:17 that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And because He's fulfilled the law, we are under a new covenant. If you take your Bible this evening, turn with me to the Galatian letter for just a moment. And when you turn to the Galatian letter and the 5th chapter, notice, if you will, verse 1. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, look at what Paul says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's he talking about? He's talking about don't go back to the law of Moses. Don't be a Judaizer that takes the people away from the liberty or the freedom that one has in Christ. In the Galatian letter, they've been set free from the law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and now we are under a new covenant in Christ. Then take your Bible, if you will, kindly, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice, if you will, beginning at verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away is glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Notice, Paul says if the law of Moses had some glory to it, even to the point that they couldn't look at the face of Moses, but he had to have a veil, how much more is the law of Christ glorious? Have you ever stopped to think about that we are under a glorious covenant? And he's very plain in that manner. He said, what the Spirit has revealed to us, it is much more glorious. I like that in verse 11. Much more glorious. So he says, say not in your heart that you need any more than this word that has been revealed. I can go to my Bible tonight and in the Roman letter in the 10th chapter. I don't need somebody to be raised from the dead today to show me that God's Word is true. That's already been done with Christ. I don't need someone to descend to tell me that the Word of God is true. The Word of God has already been confirmed. We don't need miracles today because the Bible has already been confirmed by miraculous gifts. Today, we just preach what has already been confirmed. And I'm thankful that I have the Bible as God has revealed it and has confirmed it. Now, I'll tell you what, that denies Catholicism. That denies that they say that someone needs to tell us what the Bible means. Because I want you to understand tonight, you understand it by your own study. You can take the Bible, and there are some things that are difficult, but you can take it and understand it. You don't always need somebody to explain it to you. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter for just a moment and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 3rd chapter, notice, if you will, verse 1. Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, now watch it, how that by revelation, God had revealed it to him. It's the revelation of the message of truth. How that by revelation, he has made known to me the mystery. That's the Old Testament as it's being drawn out, pointing to the New. The mystery. As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, now watch it, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now what's he saying? We understand that Christ is the fulfillment. we understand that Christ has come and that there is now a message we can understand. It's no longer a mystery. God has revealed it so that we can read it and understand it. And after the Roman church gets through, they make it a mystery again. What's a shame is there are so many people that they do not understand the truth because people try to complicate the truth. Now, there are a lot of people I listen to. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who take great pride in taking the Bible and making it more complicated. There are a lot of people that when they take the Bible, they try to make it sound where you can't understand it. I've got some friends of mine, and we'll sit together, and they start going through, and I listen to them, and they're trying to become theologians to the point that they sound very educated. And I just sit there and nod. I know what they're talking about, but they could simplify it. But some people like to make things God has made simple more complicated. But Paul is saying in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter that God has given us the Word. And notice what he says in verse 8. What does it say? The Word is near you. You have access to the Word of God. And then what does he say? Your mouth and in your heart. That is the faith which we preach. Notice, the Word of God must be in the heart. And may I say that when an individual preaches, it needs to be in his heart? I think we overlook that important statement made by the beloved apostle. The Word is in not only in your mouth, it's to be in your heart. We see here the Lord's plan to save man. Put the Word into the mouth and the heart of the man doing the preaching. It's in the mouth of a lot of men, but I'll tell you, if it's not in the heart, that preacher needs to sit down. Many preach from the mouth, but how many preach from the heart? The preaching that was done in the early days, you'll find, was done from the heart. Look back in the book of Acts in the second chapter. In Acts chapter 2, you'll remember that Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And notice it says in verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and he begins to preach to them. And what happens to the people? Because they preached from the heart of the people were touched. In verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. You want to know why a lot of preaching is not cutting the heart of people today? Because the man doing the preaching isn't preaching from the heart. If it doesn't come from the heart, my friend, you can say all the fancy words you want. But I'll tell you, you're going to lose the people. I think about what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verses 28 to 32 when he said, I cease not to warn both night and day with tears. He is saying, I preach from the heart. In other words, he is greatly concerned. I have great concern about people here. I'm greatly concerned about our young converts, and I'm thinking, what can we do to encourage them so that they grow in faith because they're going to face great trials? I'm concerned about those who've never been baptized because I love their soul and I worry about what will happen if they are lost because they've never come to a knowledge of Christ or they're not willing to obey from the heart, as Paul said in Romans 6, that form of doctrine. I am concerned about individuals, and I'll tell you something, my friend, the day I quit being concerned about people is the day I need to quit preaching. I fear too many people make preaching a profession. And if the only thing they want to do is look at moving at the next biggest church, then they need to get out of it. Because preaching needs to come from the heart. You are concerned about souls. But that brings up something else. Look again at what he says in Romans chapter 10. He said, one must believe in thine heart. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, not only do we confess that Christ is the Son of God, but that confession must come from a heart filled with faith. And what does it mean to confess Christ? A lot of Calvinists will take you to this and say, all you have to do is believe. But notice, confession means several things. First, I confess His virgin birth. Matthew chapter 1. I confess His sinless life. I confess His resurrection. I confess His authority. In Romans 1:16, what's Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a salvation. It comes through Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. That power, His authority. And I'll tell you what, it must come from the heart. I think about that calling on the name of the Lord. If you ever thought about, my friend, in Acts 22:16, when Ananias told Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." What's the last thing he said? Calling on the name of the Lord. That is obedience. It's not just a simply saying, "Lord, save me." It's a calling out of obedience from the heart. It is the heart doing what it's supposed to do. And so how does faith come? In the same reading, we see the answer to how faith gets in the heart. Now, notice it doesn't say it comes from the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't come just through prayer. The Word comes through preaching. Look again at what he says in Romans chapter 10. In verse 14 beginning. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now watch verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to know why preaching's so important? Not just in pulpits, but in private, because that's how faith comes. He said faith comes by hearing what? The Word of God. Faith comes by knowing what God has said. The Word. Preaching is not just anything, but it's the Word of the Lord. Thus you see the responsibility that rests upon the hearts of the men of God. They must preach only the faith that comes from God's Word. If I preach any other doctrine than what comes from God's Word, you're not going to hear what you need in order to be saved. I think that's important. When I was in college, one of my professors, who I dearly love, and I still stay in touch with him, saw him not too long ago. He got up and he made a statement about some of the young men in the chapel talk. He said, they work out, they're all but fitness buffs, and I was looking around because I thought I was the only one. I'm teasing. Tom. And they were talking about how all these strapping young men play sports. He said, but there came back a report about all the young men. He said the problem was they all had ugly feet. Not very many people got what he was saying. What he was saying is they're not preaching the gospel. Now, I don't know how your feet look physically. You may have ugly feet. But I'll tell you one thing. If you preach the gospel, you've got beautiful feet. Because he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. You take the good news to the lost. Then look at what he says in Romans 10:12. It doesn't matter your background. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Jew and Gentile are in the same body. That's what he says in Ephesians 3:6. We are now one body. And it's done the same way, by the same faith. That's what he says in verse 9. And it's done by the same way, by hearing the Word. That's what he says in verse 17. And obeying the Word. And that is the harmony with Great Commission. What did he say in Mark 16:15? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I've got a question for you tonight. What about your heart? Look at that statement again. Do not say in your heart this. But what he says is say in your heart and confess in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's been raised from the dead. I'm going to put my faith in Him. I will obey His word. I'll be His child because of what He's done for me. What we need to do is obey Him. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.